Please be turning to Bob's book of Revelation. Chapter 2. And the title of my sermon is Seven Churches. And last week we covered two of them. And this week we're going to cover two more. And of course next week is going to be the last three. But Revelation chapter 2, we as a church, we've been reading the book of Revelation for this month. And, you know, sometimes if you feel that Revelation is not actually, is revealing some strange things to you, that probably is because we have not probably skillfully understood the Old Testament. If you know the Old Testament well, then you can easily understand Revelation. Awesome. Good. So, Revelation chapter 2. Before we go ahead, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, God, for this great morning, Father. Yeah. That, God, we can come together as a church, be able to listen to your words, what you spoke to your churches 2,000 years ago, Father. And, God, I know, God, that as you spoke to every church, you did say, Father, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches, Father. And God, the call today, God, is for all churches to go back to your scriptures, to be able to see for themselves where they stand in front of you. Father, pray today, God, you would open up our hearts so that, God, we can make a decision to follow you, to know, God, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to say that I'm putting the Bible into practice. Not just as a namesake Christian, but a Christian who wants to prevail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. I hope you're excited this morning.
Yeah.
I hope you had some good sleep.
Yeah.
If not, don't sleep during my message. I mean, it's not allowed over there. All right. And, you know, I have 2 points this morning. And I believe that what we learned today is so, so important. Turn to Revelation 2 and look at the church in Pergamum. Point number one is be watchful. Be watchful. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 onwards, 12 to 17. To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city, where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin, so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna, and also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. First point, be watchful. Now, this was Jesus who was speaking to the churches, and he comes to the church in Pergamum, and he says, listen, and he says, I'm the one, and he says, who has the sharp, double-edged sword. Now, if you read the Bible, the Hebrew talks about how God's word is the sharp double-edged sword. Yeah. But remember, this was a time when the Christians were being persecuted by Nero and then by Domitian. The Romans had a sharp double-edged sword. It simply meant they had authority and they could make a judgment. Jesus comes over and he says, small correction. I have a sharp double-edged sword. Yeah. I have the ultimate authority and bring about the ultimate judgment. Are you with me? So there's a message Jesus was telling people. He says, don't worry. I'm being persecuted. He says, don't worry. Do not fear the Roman sword. Because my sword is way more sharper than their sword. Are you with me? And so he's talking to the disciples over there, to the Christian. He says, fear not. And he says over here, he gives an example of a guy called Antipas. Now, we don't know anything about Antipas in the New Testament. We don't hear nothing about him, nothing in the book of Acts or anything else. But we do know that Antipas was faithful to the Lord till he died. History kind of tells us they took this guy Antipas and they roasted him alive in a copper bull-shaped vessel. And Antipas never denied the Lord. Amen. You know, so I think we should get a proper angle about what is persecution. Persecution is not somebody told you, why are you going to church? That's not persecution. Persecution is not, my mother said, don't go to church. My father said, don't go to church. My wife said, don't go to church. That is not what persecution is. Or my husband said, don't go to church. You know you're being persecuted if you're going to be roasted alive. And Jesus says over here, he is the one who has the ultimate judgment. Even in the worst of the worst situations, Jesus says, you got to be faithful to me.
Amen.
Now, we look over here. And it says over here, you know, he says, Jesus says in verse 14, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. He says, there are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam. Now, what is happening over here? Now, if you read the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, you come across, there was a prophet called Balaam. He was called by the Moabite king, Balak, to come and prophesy against the Israelites. Bring down curses on the Israelites. Now remember, Balak is a Moabite king. Balaam is an Israelite prophet. This king comes to this prophet and says, you know what? Curse your own people. Curse the Israelites. Of course, Balaam doesn't do. He is definitely enticed by money and stuff like that. But what's interesting is when you start reading the Old Testament, the Bible says that the Spirit of God was in Balaam. Very good. We're very happy. And yet, over here in Revelation, Jesus says, go there, take a look, verse 14. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin, so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. Oh, what's happening over here? I thought Balaam was the good guy. Yes, he belonged to the good guy. I thought God spoke through Balaam. Yes, God spoke through Balaam. I thought Balaam had the Spirit of God. Yes, he had the Spirit of God. Yet, how is the closing over here? It says, Balaam, he didn't do anything directly, but he leaks out a secret to the king, Balak, and says, you know what? These guys won't fall into your trap like that. Let me tell you what you should do, he tells the king. And that's what he says. He taught Balak, the king, to entice the Israelites to sin. Wow. And so, here is Balaam. Gives a secret out to Balak, saying that, you know what, don't go direct, go in an indirect manner. Don't straight away go. They will be very hard-lined. But slowly, slowly poison their minds. Entice them. Slowly draw them in. Slowly. And you will have victory. That's what Balaam tells Balak, and that's what Balak did to the Israelites. Wow. Why would Jesus bring this point over here? Yeah, almost a 1,500 years old story. Because see, as Christians, I don't think we will straight away go into sin, do we? We won't probably. Nobody directly goes into it. But you have the world that'll entice you.
Yeah.
That'll slowly pull you in if you're not watchful.
Yeah.
It will drag you in. It'll suck you into the system. And before you know, you're gone.
Yeah.
Who are the ones who'll do this? This is the scary part. One of your own, like Balaam. One of your own. You know, the question you could ask yourself this morning is, do I have strong spiritual disciples as friends? You see, a strong disciple will not entice you into wrong thing. He will challenge you. He'll tell you, you know what, this is wrong. You're lying. And he'll go straight on you.
Yeah.
But sometimes we are birds of the feather, the flock together. We don't do... Suppose I'm lazy. Guess who my best friend is? Another lazy guy. Suppose I love movies. Guess who my best friend is? Another guy who loves movies. My favorite actor is Arjun. My best friend's actor, Arjun. That's how it is. See, that's how we actually make friends, is it?
Yeah.
He likes idli, I also like idli. He likes chicken, I also like chicken. And that's how we make friends. That's how we go around. We both love doing this, we both love doing that. And before we realize, we're not being watchful, we've been enticed, and slowly, so what happens is, there are things that happen, and that's okay. Little compromise, little things over there, and the world has started sucking you in. Let me ask you a question. Remember when we studied the Bible, we had somebody told you, you should not give up meeting together?
Yeah.
And they said that, you should come to church on Sundays.
Yeah.
And they said, coming to midweeks is not that important. Remember they said that?
No.
There is no need to come for Bible talks. It is okay if your house is far away.
No,
very few no's are coming over there.
No.
When I talked about the Sunday, yeah, because you're all here on Sunday. So let me ask you a question. Have you been enticed? Have you been pulled into becoming only a Sunday Christian? You know, we were out evangelizing the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a brother from a former movement, the ICOC. So I go, hey, bro, you know what? And I was inviting people. So I said, hey, man, I want you to come to church. He goes, bro, you know, I go to my church. I go, really? You're calling that a church? I said, you're old guy, I'm old guy, we are from old thing. We know that the teachings of Jesus do not exist there anymore. He goes, okay, bro, but you know, I can't come. I said, Sunday mornings you're busy, Sunday morning, any other time if you say I can come. I go, oh. And I just remembered we have a special meeting, a congregational service on September the 3rd.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, hey bro, what about September 3rd evening? Can you come? He goes, oh, evening, 6 o'clock, I can come. You go, yeah, that is very good. Now, if you're visiting us, you go, yeah, I understand, that's okay. But if you're a disciple, you go, really? Disciples do not go to all every kind of church. Because a disciple understands what is a church from the scriptures. And I was shocked that he would come for an evening service. So Sunday morning service will go there, Sunday evening will come here. I'm like, what are you teaching the people? You know, in the Bible, there's only one church.
Yes.
Now you go, I belong to the AG church. And I'm sorry, there is no AG church in the Bible.
Yes.
So please don't be insulted. You go, no, I belong to the AFT. There is no AFT in the Bible.
Yeah.
They go, oh, no, I belong to ACA. There's no ACA. NLAG, there is no NLAG. KFC, there is no KFC.
Yeah.
I mean, these churches are not there.
Yeah.
You've got to think through why you want to be able to go to a church that calls you to follow the scriptures.
Yeah.
If it doesn't call you to follow, if it doesn't challenge you, then you'll become comfortable. Probably you've been enticed by the world to go adjust, and keep going on.
Yeah.
You got to ask yourself the question, have you been enticed? Have you been pulled in by the world? Do you have disciples who are actually pulling you in? You know, I'm so excited to talk about Ram over here. Love Ram. Been awesome. He had his birthday and everything.
Yeah.
You know, Ram is, his name should tell you, he's not from a Christian background.
That's right.
This guy literally has nothing of his own. No parents, no house, nothing. The guy is just, what he wears is just a few things that he had. That's all. He lives in the brother's flat with strong convictions that I am going to follow Jesus no matter what comes on my way. No matter what happens to me. I am going to remain a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. You got to stand up for the truth.
Yes.
You know, many of us, we go, oh, I'm going to this big shot meeting by, oh, this pastor has come. He's doing healing meeting, healing service. Rubbish. Healing meetings are frauds. Yeah. The ones who conduct the healing meetings are fraud. You go, oh my God, how dare you accuse? How dare you judge? Should we not judge?
Uh-huh.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. What does it say? Do not judge. It says, don't judge or you too will be judged.
Yeah.
There is no verse in the Bible that says do not judge. Mm. Or there are plenty of verses in the Bible that does say you better judge.
Yeah.
I'm restless. Go home, do some Bible study.
Yeah.
Now we have computers, laptops, judge. Type the word judge and all the judgments verses will come and check it out. Jesus calls us to judge. Paul calls us to judge. Paul judges, throws people out of the church.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 5, 1 Corinthians 6. There are plenty of verses.
Yeah.
We're not reading a Bible.
Yeah.
And you've got to make a decision. You go, this is wrong. And what is wrong. And you've got to stand by it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You've got to be watchful. If you're not watchful, you're going to be dragged in.
Yeah.
You're going to be dragged in. You know, it says over here, I love the way Jesus ends over here. He says, in verse 17, he says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to some churches. To the one who is victorious, I'll give some of the hidden manna. Now the people didn't understand that part. The Israelites, when they were crossing the desert, they were not sure of the food for tomorrow. God provided them for that day. They went out, they collected the food, and they came back. God says, don't keep extra for next day. Now some did keep, and it got maggots in it.
Yeah.
Just collect as much as you want. And then next day, they again got fresh food. They had no fridge.
Yeah.
Daily fresh food.
Yeah.
No preservatives added. No added colors.
Come on.
Nothing. This was the best stuff. And so God says over here, Jesus says, I'll give you the hidden manna. In other words, I'll make sure you've got to understand that I'll give you the spiritual nourishment. Yes. God will provide all that you need if you go back to God, yes. If you keep Him as number one. Are you with me, church?
Yes.
And so, you know, Jesus saying, you know, don't worry about the stuff. You will be satisfied. Yes. Just like the Israelites, on a daily basis, I will take care of you. You know, then He says over here, I will also give that person a white stone.
Why? Wow.
White stands for purity. And God goes, you be faithful, I'll make sure you become pure and white. You will become pure. You'll become like, this is the wow stuff. And then it says over here, with a new name written on it. Now, names had significance. Maybe your parents called your name and you don't like it. You know how it is? Oh my God, I don't know why they called me. In school, they make fun of you,
yeah.
you know, and stuff like that. So, oh man, I'm going to change my name. And you change your name, still people are making fun of the name, new name. You change again, they still make fun of it. Now Jesus goes, I'm going to give you a new name.
Wow.
Names define character.
Yeah, wow.
That's how it was in the olden days.
Yeah.
You know, and so when a name was given, a character was given. So Jesus goes, you know what? You're going to have a new name. You're going to be a person with a new character.
Wow.
You ever felt, I can never ever change?
Yeah.
I can never change myself, my sin. Be faithful. Watch out. Don't let the word entice you.
Yeah.
You're going to get a new name from Jesus Himself. Amen?
Yeah.
Point number one, you've got to be faithful, watchful. Point number two, be resistful. Be resistful. Revelation chapter 2. We're going to look in the church in Thyatira. To the angel of the church in Thyatira. Now, where do we find the word angel? It simply means messenger or the leader or the bishop or the church father. That's what it actually is. It says, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you're now doing more than you did at first. Let's stop for a moment. I like the way Jesus introduces Himself. In the previous verse, He says that I'm the one who has the sharp double-edged sword. Here He says over here, these are the words of the Son of God whose eyes are like blazing fire. I don't know about you, but me, while growing up, I used to see these pictures of Jesus. And they were always like, you know, you sometimes straight hair, sometimes permed hair. Sometimes the eyes were like, of course, blue. Sometimes it was green, gray, brown. And I sometimes wondered, was he wearing contacts and changing contacts? Because every guy saw him in a different color.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But let me tell you, I've never seen this picture. It says, whose eyes were like blazing fire.
Yeah.
Not just blazing, like blazing fire. Imagine Jesus. And this is not like small-time guy, you know, like they say, power fight fellow. Like, as though Jesus is, you know, I don't know what to do. And we have a pose like that. Or sometimes He's knocking on the door. He's carrying a sheep. Well, the picture of Jesus, the guy's blazing fire in His eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's awesome.
Yeah.
Talk about like the ultimate of all metal or of all, you know, you have these action-packed heroes, Captain America and stuff, but this guy rocks.
Yeah.
Next one, He says, His feet are like burnished bronze. Puts Iron Man to shame, I think, a little bit. This guy was hot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and the Bible says over here that He says, I know your deeds. I know your love and your faith. and your service and perseverance that you are now doing more than you did at first. Well, it's great to have Mai Miraj and Kavin Priya over with us. Yeah. You know, these guys are great guys. They're doing a fantastic job in the other parts of the ministry where they came from. But I feel here, I believe they've come here to do even more great things than they did at first. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. You know, Kavin Priya, she's amazing. She's done a bachelor's. She's working. Very, very responsible. Got a heart of gold. Mai Miraj, he's doing his PhD in mathematics. Back off, everybody. All right? But he gives a spare time in doing the ministry of God. Yes. And so it's great to have, one more time, great to have Mai Miraj, and great to have come here with us to grant the living stones right here. Amen. It's going to be awesome. But, you know, that's what the disciples' attitude should be. I want to even more.
Yeah.
Let's go down to verse 20. Nevertheless, okay, corrections. I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I'll make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of their ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I'm he who searches hearts and minds, and I'll repay each of you according to your deeds. Amen. Stop for a moment. Jesus comes, talks to the church. He says over here that in verse 20, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. Now, who is Jezebel? You know, again, in the Old Testament, Jezebel was one wicked woman, known for her wickedness. All she knew and did and thought and dreamed about was doing wicked things. Of course, I think here the references for anybody who is in this manner or who is of this kind, who calls herself a prophet. Jezebel is anybody who would tell you, they would open the Bible, call themselves a prophet, but their life will not match it. Some of us as Christians, we are just naive. Or she's a naive. Somebody comes and tells you something and you immediately go, okay. And I think we gotta be resistful, or we should, in other words, we should not tolerate sin.
Amen.
And I talked to the staff Wednesday, talked to the staff. And we looked in the passage in the book of Jeremiah where people come and we want to encourage, we want to build people up, we want to help them to change, which is exciting. But there's something we are missing. Let's go there and check out Jeremiah, because I want us to get this point again. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll come back to Revelation, but for now, Jeremiah chapter 1. God has called Jeremiah, and he says in verse 10, or let's go from verse 9 onwards. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. So, the one who gave the words was God himself to Jeremiah. But then see in verse 10. It says, see, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Like I said, I think we do this building and planting very well. People come, they know the service is awesome, they love the fellowship and everything, but And they get, you know, we try to build them up and we plant in the word of God, but there is something we have not understood over here. God first tells Jeremiah, Jeremiah, you got to uproot. Not cut. If you do some gardening, you understand that. When you see weeds coming, you want to uproot it.
Yeah.
You want to kill a plant, you want to pull it out, uproot it. Take it up from the root, bring it out and throw it. It says, you got to tear down. You got to destroy. You got to overthrow. What's the point? What's he telling Jeremiah? Jeremiah said, Jeremiah, before you start changing yourself or the people, you got to first get these things out of your system. Tons of stuff. We have things in our heads and minds and hearts. Unless we take it out, we can't. There's no place for God's word.
Yeah.
Now you go, bro, I've been a Christian and now suddenly I'm stagnating. The reason you're stagnating is there are things you're not uprooted.
Yeah.
There are things you're not willing to tear down. Rip it! You're not ready to do that. I'll slowly, you know, that slowly thing that don't work.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen, I will slowly change?
No.
There's no slow change. There is change and no change.
Yeah.
But there is change and no change. Later on, I'll become faithful. Doesn't work that way. There is no later on. We just heard, we need the manna for that day.
Yeah.
We get the manna for the day. We get the food for the day. We're alive for the day. We got to go praise Jehovah. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I think what has happened is in our lives, we're not toned these things down. Hence, we can't even build. We can't plant. Nothing else is growing. So Sunday we come to church, we get pumped up, we share, okay, I'm going to do this. But my Monday, Tuesday, you've gone back into your old self. What do you have to uproot this morning? What do you have to tear down this morning? What do you have to overthrow this morning? You got to begin to do that right now. Make a mental note of God, this is going to change from my life. Are you with me?
Yes.
Let's go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. There's a verse I saw over here which kind of scared me. Take a look in verse 22. It says about Jezebel, it says, I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. Adultery, sex outside marriage, porn, masturbation, you're going to suffer intensely. That's what Jesus says. And I don't think he's lying.
Yeah.
Next step is even worse. I will strike her children dead. If these words doesn't scare you, you got to wake up.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to see yourself. Man, you go, I'll somehow escape. I'll somehow manage. You don't know what's going to happen. Your suffering is going to be intense.
Ooh.
Says the Lord over here. You're going to make a radical decision change. Are you with me, guys?
Yeah.
You know, it says over here in verse 24, now I say to you, to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to a teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burdens on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I'll also give them that one I will also give that one the morning star. Who has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You gotta be resistful. Some of us think that they are not as strong as others, and so when sin comes, they suddenly fall. And some of us think that only you are being attacked by the demons. What about Raja? No! The devil cannot touch Raja. It attacks only me. If I preach from here, no, it will not attack me. If I become a big leader, it will not attack me. If I play the bass guitar, it won't attack me. I should be a singer like Jude, then it will not attack me. Or maybe I should roll the drums like John does. Brothers and sisters, every one of us, we go through the same pressures of life. The devil gets each one of us. It's not like you're the special devil's target. Ha ha, there you are. No, he just gets everybody.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Resist! Yeah. Don't tolerate! Get it out! Get it out! You know, the reason we go down, the first thing you should observe is when sin comes is you lose your joy. You seen that one?
Yeah.
It's hard to smile. Hi, bro. Hi, bro. This is paining already. Hi, bro. Hi, bro. Hi, bro. No more hi, bro. Let me just turn around somewhere else. Don't look at me. Hi. Another one. The service gets... You're out. Where did he go? Rocket. He's gone. Bro, wait, I was there, bro. I didn't see you. Don't the rocket fellowship. Suddenly gone. Suddenly disappeared. I mean, get some time.
Yes.
You know, don't resist the fellowship. Resist the sin.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Enjoy the fellowship. Don't enjoy sin.
Yeah.
Got it all messed up and mixed up over there. All kitchery. Have you seen somebody eat food? I'm a little careful when I eat food. I mean, you know, I have a habit of eating my eyes. The food should not, like, you see, it shouldn't cross this border over here.
Yeah.
It has to be like that. If I'm eating with my hands, I don't like the thing coming up till here.
Yes.
I won't disclose names, but I have friends. And they love to eat curd rice with sambar and rasam mixed, and they do, and the rice comes up. Oh. And I have seen it comes like this, and I've seen people do that. I cannot eat after. I mean, I try to avoid. It's a little difficult. But I think for some of us, we have mixed up everything in that manner. We don't know what is evil and what is good. It's so squashy, squashy. By the time you do that, it's like, you can't actually, what is this food? I don't want to eat this. But some of you have done that with your life. You've mixed up all priorities. What is spiritual? What is unspiritual? What is worldly? What is godly? It's all mixed up in your head.
That's right.
And so you're like, you can't understand, and you go, I will untie it. You can't untie it. You got to sit down there, study the Bible with somebody, and get some clarity on who is God. You got to do that. You know, it's funny. I mean, again, I was inviting somebody, and I met a guy. You know, he said, I asked his name. We exchanged names and everything. I said, hey, you need to come to church. This is about God. He smiles at me. I go, hey, why? You know, I don't believe in God. I say, yeah, man, I also from the same background. There was a time I never used to believe in God, too. He goes, do you know what Kamala Hassan says? I'm like, and he said something about there may be a God, something like that, something. I said, I can say, do you know what Jack says? Do you know what Jill says? Do you know what Raja says? I can say something like that. What's so big about what Kamala Hassan says? Nothing against or towards Kamala Hassan, but what does that got to do with anything?
Yeah.
He says, she says, you got to go, what is the truth?
Yeah.
You want the truth, not what he says and she says.
Yeah.
And the truth comes from God.
Yeah.
People go, oh, you know, all the books are the same. Books are not the same.
Yeah.
Come on. They're not the same. You've not read them. That's why you say they are the same. All the roads lead you to God. No, all the roads do not lead you to God.
Yeah.
This road down will lead you, you'll crash down straight if you walk down this road. Bus may hit you. All the roads do not lead you to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're crossing the road, bus may hit you.
Yeah.
Supposed to be one joke, actually. No, they don't. So you got to think through.
Yeah.
All the ways, no, all the ways. No. You want to find out, is there a God? Find out. Is there a God? Does God exist? He exists or he does not exist. Simple. It's not like maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Could be. There's a possibility. He did exist one time. Now, no. No. Then he is not God if that's the case. And once you find out who is God, then you can go, all right, who is that God?
Yeah.
And, you know, check things out. Are these things God? Are people God? Just because there is a pandit and a prophet and a muni doesn't mean they're gods.
Yeah, that's right.
And you want to find out.
Yeah.
Who is that God? And you find it out. People go, Raja, now, what if everything about the Bible and Christianity is wrong? They've asked me this question. Then I'll go, you know what? Let's say everything is wrong. Let's say everything the Bible talks about is wrong. In vain, you know, I'm trying to hold on to the scriptures. But if that's the case, then you know what? I'm very happy I have one wife. Not many. I have three awesome kids. Fired up. I have a bunch of happy, loving, awesome, truthful, genuine friends over here.
Yeah.
They don't cheat. They don't lie to me. We have a fair exchange of ideas. I love this.
Yeah.
So even if I don't have God, and even if the Bible is all trash, even if I have an awesome, awesome place I'm living with, great people who do not lie, who do not cheat.
Yeah.
I love this thing. So even without God, even without the Bible, this still makes an excellent place to live, walk, and have my being over here. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Even without those things. So you go, aha, really? Check out your office. How is your office?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you. Don't know who's going to bite you. You know what's happening behind?
Yeah.
No clue. My boss didn't give my salary for so many days. Yeah, welcome to world.
Oh, yeah.
Got to think. Even without the Bible, even without the God, you have awesome people that you have friends with.
Yes.
Yes.
What you got to do? You got to do two things this morning. Number one, you got to be watchful.
Yep.
You got to watchful. No one comes and messes you up. Are you with me?
Yes.
Don't let the world come mess you up.
Yeah, right.
Don't get enticed by the world. The world trying to pull you. You got to go, no, I don't want that one. Watch out for Balaam.
Yeah.
They will come. They'll be probably from the church also. They'll come, but they'll destroy you. You got to have friends who will pull you towards God, who will challenge your sin and say, you know what? This is what the Bible says. You got to turn. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Number two, you got to be resistful.
Yeah.
Do not tolerate sin in your life. You got to go, hey, man, what needs to be uprooted? I'm going to uproot it.
Yes.
What needs to be teared down, I'm going to tear it down now, today. I'm going to tear it down.
Yeah.
What needs to be overthrown, I overthrow it right now.
Yeah.
Not later, now I'm going to do it. Why? I know that the Bible says over here, in verse 25, it says, 28. It says, I will also give them that one, the morning star. When you stand up, Jesus says, I'll give them the morning star. Then the morning star is the reason why it's called the morning star. It just comes up, it's seen right before the sunrise. Coldest night, darkest night, doesn't matter. Just before sunrise, boom, you will see the morning star. The Bible says that Jesus is the morning star.
Amen.
And so even if your darkest and the worst moment of life, Jesus says, hang on, I'm going to give myself to you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, and may God bless you.